If you've got your Bibles with you this morning, would you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and if you are our guest today, first time at Abilene, perhaps you're one of our Abilene regular tenders, you've just been out for the last several weeks. During the month of November, that time of Thanksgiving, we've been in a series of studies that we've entitled Be Thankful. And what we're trying to do during this month of November is we're seeking to discover what does it mean? How can we, why should we develop an attitude of gratitude? You're there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, or if not, while you're finding your way there, I share with the other two services that when I was in high school, my parents evidently were having issues with my two younger brothers acting right. And so I'm the oldest of three boys, and evidently they were having trouble getting my brothers to do what they're supposed to do, be disciplined, because I was always an angel. Can I get an amen in the house this morning? And so my dad must have shared the struggles that he had with Craig and Paul, with the deacon body there at First Baptist Church of Milan, because a couple of weeks later, Jerry, who was one of the deacons, I think he might probably even deacon chairman at the time, he showed up at the Witt House with a special custom-made paddle that the deacons at First Baptist Milan had made for the Witt boys. As a matter of fact, let me describe this monstrosity to you that the deacons had made for the Witt boys. I'm just glad that I was already too grown and I was already past the stage of getting paddlings, and I was at the stage where they would take my keys to my car and those sorts of things, which, by the way, I would have rather had the paddle. Can I get an amen? And so they brought to the Witt House this paddle that was about this long, two-handed, about 6 or 8 inches wide, an inch thick. They had drilled a whole bunch of holes up at the end of the business side of that paddle. And then the deacons of the First Baptist Church of Milan, Tennessee, had written dedications to the Witt boys on that paddle. Matter of fact, it said dedicated to the Witt boys. And on that paddle were little inscriptions such as heat for the seat, foolishness remover, board of education. Somebody tried to act all spiritual and said, spare the rod, spoil the child. And then the one that I'll never forget, it was called the attitude adjuster. My mom was so scared that somebody was going to call defects on us that she wouldn't even allow that paddle to stay in the house one night. She made them take it back and then come back with a more Christian version of that monstrosity. Amen? And I've thought about a lot over the years, that little phrase, an attitude adjustment, the attitude adjuster. And on this Sunday morning before Thanksgiving, I want to share with you a message just entitled Gratitude Adjustment, because that really is one of the greatest needs that so many Christians in America have. We need to learn what it means and how we can develop an attitude of gratitude. A small town's only barber was known to have an arrogant, negative attitude. Everywhere he went, everybody knew this was a really negative kind of a guy. He had a regular customer who had come to get his haircut one day, and he proudly told that barber, he said, I'm going to Rome and I'm going to see the Pope. He said, yeah, sure. You might go to Rome, but you're not going to get to meet the Pope. The Pope only meets with kings and queens and presidents and those sorts of folks. You're never going to get to talk to the Pope. Well, about a month later, this regular guy comes back in and he said, I got to go to Rome. He said, yeah, and I bet you saw the Pope. He said, no, I did. He said, yeah, sure. Like everybody else, all those thousands of people out there from St. Peter's Square, you saw the Pope. He said, no, I got a chance to talk to him because two guards came down and took me up to have a private conversation with the Pope. And so this barber, who incredulous, couldn't believe it, he said, all right, what did the Pope say? And the guy said, well, he wanted to know who gave me that lousy haircut. This past weekend, I saw where Greg Laurie, he's a pastor from out in California, and he posted a little statement on social media that went with the message that he was going to be airing today. And the statement went like this: thankful people are happy people. Thankful people are happy people. And I thought about that. You know, that's true. Thankful people are happier. And not only are thankful people happier, they're healthier. And not only are thankful people happier and healthier, they're actually even holier, because one of the marks of being filled with God's precious Holy Spirit is that you are a grateful Christian. Now, I don't normally try to tell people what specifically God's will is for their life, but if you're here this morning and you are a Christian, can I tell you that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is God's will for you to be a grateful Christian. Now, you may be sitting out there this morning and you say, Pastor, if you knew what I knew, that I just got a diagnosis of cancer this past week, you wouldn't say that. No, look right here. It's still God's will for you to be a grateful Christian. Perhaps you're sitting out there this morning and say, Pastor, if you knew what I knew, that this past week my wife has walked in, says she doesn't love me anymore, she's leaving me, we're going to get a divorce, she doesn't want anything to do with me anymore, you wouldn't say that. No, it's still God's will for you to be a grateful Christian. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, I got a pink slip this past week. The only job that I've ever had. Coming into the holiday season, I got fired from my job. How can you say that to me this morning? Listen, it is still God's will for you to be a grateful Christian. Notice what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Paul says, in everything, give thanks. Now, we don't really have a problem with those last two words, but those first two words give us fits. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Simple, sweet, straight to the point. Paul says, in everything, you and I, we are to give thanks. Now, that's not some sort of positive thinking theology that comes from that guy that wears the fancy suits and the pretty ties, that has that big toothy grin, that preaches every Sunday in the Compact Center out in Houston. No, that is what the Apostle Paul said. Paul said, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, let me explain to you what that means. Every time as a Christian that you are ungrateful, you are out of the will of God for your life. It doesn't matter why. You may be here this morning and you think that you have a great reason to be ungrateful. But I want you to know that every Christian, at every moment he is alive, has at least one reason to be grateful to God. Back in the heyday of Rudyard Kipling, in his heyday, they say that Rudyard Kipling, every word that Rudyard Kipling wrote was worth 25 shillings. That's roughly the equivalent of almost $100 in today's money. Every word that Rudyard Kipling wrote was worth 25 shillings. There was a group of college students who'd heard that statistic. And so they sent a message. They gathered some money. They sent a message to Rudyard Kipling. And they said, hey, can you give us one of your 25 shilling words? I mean, your best. Give us one of your best words. About a week or so later, a telegram came back to those college students from Rudyard Kipling with one of his best words on there, and the one word was thanks. Thanks. That might be $100 word. It might be $1 million word, but it is definitely a word that I believe with all of my heart, that we don't hear enough of in a lot of our churches today. I got a feeling this morning that there are a lot of parents who have not heard that word from their children in a long, long time. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad. Thanks for all that you've done for me. I've got a feeling that we have some teenagers here this morning. And again, it's been a long time since you have said thank you to your mom and your dad. And I'll tell you, I don't know, just personally speaking, of a word that just warms my heart and blesses and encourages me more as a pastor than to hear the word thanks. Now, you might think that it's somebody coming to me after the service and saying, wow, that was a great sermon. That's the best sermon I've ever heard in my life. Pastor, you just knocked it out of the park this morning. You preached the stars down. Now, those aren't bad either. But I'm going to tell you what blesses me. I'm going to tell you what really encourages me. And that is, after the service, to have some lady come down here to the front, or perhaps a gentleman meet me out at the front welcome station, and to look at me and just simply say, hey, thanks, Pastor, for that message. I needed that. That sermon, that message blessed me. It helped me. Not that it was a great message, not that I am a great preacher, but just simply, thank you, Pastor, for that sermon, that message. I really needed it. Because here's the thing. If there's one thing that I know of that we need at Abilene Baptist Church, and really every church that I'm aware of, we need to be grounded in this attitude of gratitude. Did y'all grow up like I did and you watched the old Peanuts comic strips? You read them in the Saturday paper and you watched, you know, the great pumpkin, all those sorts of things. And so one day... Lucy asked Charlie Brown to help her with her homework, and she says, "I'll be eternally grateful." And so Charlie says, "Fair enough. I've never had anybody be eternally grateful to me before." And so he said, "Just subtract 4 from 10 to show how many apples the farmer had left." And so Lucy looks back at Charlie Brown. She says, "That's it? That's it? That simple? No, it's not worth being eternally grateful. I was robbed. I can't be eternally grateful for this. It was too easy." And so with that blank stare that Charlie Brown would so often have, he looked back at Lucy and he says, "Well, just whatever you think is fair." And so Lucy looks back at Charlie Brown and she says, "Well, how about if I just say, thanks, bro?" And Charlie Brown walks out and he runs into Linus, and Linus says, "Hey, where have you been, Charlie Brown?" And Charlie Brown says, "Well, I've been helping Lucy with her homework." And Linus said, "Well, did she appreciate it?" And Charlie answered, "At greatly reduced prices." Evidently, there are a lot of Lucys in Baptist churches today. That's why this morning what I want to do is I want to take just a few moments, and I want to just kind of share with you from this one little verse, just kind of break it down for you today, 3 things that Paul tells us here that we have to learn and do if we are going to have a gratitude adjustment. If you're taking notes this morning, just jot it down there on your note page or in your Bible. Guys, pull out your pens, your pencil, your lipstick, your eyeliner, your mascara. If you need to, take notes there on your phone. There's a young lady out at West every Sunday when I say take notes, she holds up her phone at me like this right here as a way of saying I'm taking it on my phone. I don't care how you get it, just get it down. Number one, if you're going to have a gratitude adjustment here during this Thanksgiving season, number one, there's something you must show. Look in verse 18. He says, "In everything, give thanks." Now again, that's great advice. Because as I shared with you a moment ago, I think that a grateful, thankful person you'll be happier. And not only that, you're going to be healthier. Not only that, you're going to be holier. But let me just say this to you this morning. That's not just good advice. It's a command. He's not asking you to do it. He's not advising you to do it. He's not requesting that you do it. Paul is commanding you to give thanks. Can I say to you something this morning? And if you're newer to Abilene, you may not understand this. But if you've been around Abilene for any length of time at all, you understand what I'm about to say. You are just as obligated to give God your thanks as you are to give God your tithe. You are just as obligated to give God your thanks as you are to give God your tithe. You see, you can rob God in more than just one way. Sometimes we get the idea that you can only rob God by stealing his tithe. Listen, you can also rob God by stealing his thanks. You can rob God not just in gold, you can rob God in gratitude. As a matter of fact, there may be no greater sin on the face of the planet today than the sin of ingratitude. How many of you all, when you all were in high school, do you remember studying or maybe reading Shakespeare? Can I see your hand? Remember William Shakespeare? How many of y'all remember Romeo and Juliet? Anybody? How many of y'all like, "I didn't have to do that"? All right. So Shakespeare, great with the English language, Old English as well. But Shakespeare, listen to what he said about ingratitude. Shakespeare described ingratitude, watch this, as a marble-hearted fiend. In other words, Shakespeare said that an ingrate, an ungrateful man or woman, has a heart of solid marble. And then he went on to say this, "I hate ingratitude more in a man than lying, vainness, babbling, drunkenness, or any taint of vice, whose strong corruption inhabits our frail blood." That's what Shakespeare said, but what did Paul say? Paul says down there, he said that ingratitude, having an ungrateful heart, is the mark of an unbeliever. It is the mark of an infidel. It is the mark of rank worldliness. Listen to Romans 1 verse 21. We dealt with this last Sunday. Paul says, "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Paul says that it is the mark of a lost man to be ungrateful. Teenagers, look right here for a second. Again, when was the last time that you thanked your mom and dad for the clothes on your back, the food in your belly, the roof over your head? When's the last time that you thanked your mom and dad for all that they do and have done for you? Wives, when's the last time that you thanked your husband for providing for you and protecting you and loving you the way that he does. Hey guys, when's the last time, husbands, when's the last time that you thanked your wife for making that house into a home and loving you and again, taking care of the children and providing all those things for the house? When's the last time that you said thank you? Listen right here. It is better to say thank you and not mean it than to mean it and not say it. And so Paul says there's something that we must show, give thanks in everything. Number two, there's something we must know. He said, in everything, give thanks. Now again, if there were two words, think Benjamin Franklin. If there were two words that a lot of Christians wish that we could cut out of the Bible or cover up with whiteout, it would be those first two words, in everything. Because he didn't say, no, not in most things, not in the good things, not in happy things. Paul said, in everything. Now, if God had said, in most things give thanks, well, we could live with that. If God had said, in the happy things give thanks, we could live with that. But that's not what God said. God said, in everything give thanks. Now, just in case you were to misunderstand what I'm saying, let me just make this statement. There are some of you all sitting there this morning, and perhaps you're thinking to yourself, well, Pastor, I'm sorry, but I just don't always feel grateful. Hey, look right here. That's not what that verse says. That verse does not say, Paul didn't say, in everything feel grateful. I mean, there are a lot of things that I don't feel grateful about, but that's not what Paul is saying. You know, there are a lot of things that can affect our feelings. Did you know that? Your feelings can be affected by the temperature. Your feelings can be affected by your thyroid. Your feelings can be affected by how much sleep you got or didn't get. Your feelings can be affected by how much you have eaten or have not eaten. Anybody here this morning, are you married to somebody who gets hangry? Uh-huh. Anybody have anybody in your house that if they don't get enough to eat, they get mean? Don't raise your hand. So there are a lot of things that can affect our feelings. But I need you to understand, Thanksgiving has absolutely nothing to do with feelings. We are not commanded to feel grateful. We are commanded to be grateful and to give thanks. It doesn't matter if things are good or bad. It doesn't matter if things are hot or cold. It doesn't matter if it's light or dark. The Bible says that we are to be grateful. Now, just in case you're sitting there this morning thinking to yourself, well, Pastor, that's awful easy for Paul to say. I mean, after all, Paul was the Apostle Paul. It was easy for Paul to say, in everything, give thanks. Can I just remind you that Paul was run out of Thessalonica? He's writing here to the Thessalonians, and Paul was run out of Thessalonica on a rail for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul wrote this verse after he had been beaten, after he'd been shipwrecked, stoned, robbed, and left dead for three times. And yet Paul said, I've learned in everything to give thanks. Now, let me give you three things real quickly. For what, if you're a Christian here this morning, for what you should be able to give thanks every single day. Number one, life's blessings. Listen to what Proverbs 10:22 says. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Let me ask you a question. How many of you all would say that God has blessed you? Can I see your hands? How many of y'all would say God has blessed? I got both mine up. God's blessed me. Now, if you raised your hand this morning and you said, Pastor, God has blessed me. You know what you just said? You just said that you're rich. That's what you just said. If you raised your hand and you said, God has blessed me, then you are telling everybody else in this room and those watching online, you have said that you are rich because Solomon made it as plain as the nose on your face that the blessing of the Lord makes one rich. You say, Pastor, I don't feel rich. Let me just say this to you. Somebody gave a great definition years ago about what a Christian is. And they said that a Christian is someone who doesn't have to consult his bank account to see how rich he is. You don't have to check your checkbook. You don't have to go look at your bank account. You don't have to check your stock portfolio in order to know how rich you are. Dr. Rogers, he had a way with words. And Dr. Rogers told us, he said, if you want to know how really rich you are, hey, Christian, look here. If you want to know how really rich you are, add up everything you have that money can't buy and death can't take away, and you'll know just how really rich you are. If you want to know how really rich you are, add up everything that you have that money can't buy and death can't take away. That's why Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust corrupts and where thieves do not break through and steal. Again, if you want to know how really rich you are, add up everything you have that money can't buy and death can't take away. And you ought to thank God every single day for life's blessings. But then number two, you ought to thank God every day for life's burdens. He says, in everything, give thanks. Did you notice that? Not for everything, but in everything. Paul's not saying that you ought to be thankful for cancer, but you can be thankful in the midst of cancer. Paul's not saying that you ought to be thankful for drunk drivers, but Paul is saying that you can be thankful in the midst of drunk drivers. As a matter of fact, did you know that one of the purposes of troubles and trials and tribulations is to drive you to be grateful and thankful to God? 2 Corinthians 4:15, Paul said this, "For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God." Let me give you a great thought this morning. Look, are y'all still here this morning? Because y'all are acting like a bunch of Methodists. Are y'all still out there this morning? I married into that denomination, and so my wife was raised as a Methodist. I know all their secret handshakes. And have you ever wondered why Methodists can always beat you to the buffet? Did you know why? Because they have a Subway underneath their churches that goes straight to the buffet. Did you know that? That's not true, but it's funny. And so let me give you something to think about this morning. Everything that happens to you also happens for you. Everything that happens to you also happens for you. Think about that. That's why you ought to give thanks in every situation. No matter how bad it may seem, God wants to use it in your life to drive you to be thankful. There was a pastor who had preached on this very subject, and one of his church members came to him the next week, and he said, "I don't have anything to be thankful for. You said on Sunday morning that I should be thankful for everything, and in everything, I don't have anything to be thankful for." And so the pastor said, "Sure you do." He said, "Pastor, no, hadn't you read the prayer list? I lost everything. I lost every dime. I have nothing left, and I owe all kinds of money to all kinds of people. I have nothing to be thankful for." And the pastor said, "Yes, you do." He said, "All right, Pastor, what do I have to be thankful for?" He said, "You can be thankful that you're not one of the ones you owe money to." Do you give God thanks in the good times and the bad times? Do you give God thanks not just in the triumphs, but also in the troubles? I like the way one poet put it. He said, "We thank Him for the sun. Do we thank Him for the rain? We thank Him for joy. Do we thank Him for pain? We thank Him for gains. Do we thank Him for losses? We thank Him for blessings. Do we thank Him for crosses?" And every single day, Christian, you can thank God for life's blessings. And you can thank God for life's burdens. And then number three, you can thank God for life's benefits. The psalmist said in Psalm 103, verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Again, when's the last time that you just thank God for all of His benefits? I mean, have you ever thought about just what a great benefit it is to be alive? When's the last time that you thank God for fresh air to breathe? I shared with the other services that there was when I was at Bellevue Baptist Church in the college ministry there. We had a young college student by the name of Jessica Chastain. And Jessica had had a double lung transplant. And her body rejected her lungs. And so she's dying, basically suffocating every single day. And we would go by Jessica's house to see her. And she would either be laying there on the couch or perhaps in the hospital bed. And literally dying. And she could just barely get any words out. And we would walk over to see her, and her mouth would be moving. And we would put our ear down next to her mouth, and just the barest little amount of air would come across those vocal cords. And she could barely even enunciate or get out those words. But when you could put your ear down to her mouth, you would hear her say something like this right here, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord." When's the last time you thank God for the air that you breathe? When's the last time that you thank God for being alive? Let me ask you this. How many of y'all like to pay taxes? Can I see your hands? Not one? One, okay. And, you know, you got some multi-billionaires who say they want to pay taxes. Pay more, buddy. Pay my share. Can I get an amen? You better pay more. And anyway, and so we got, I don't like paying taxes. I love living in America, but I don't like to pay taxes. Did you know you ought to be grateful? Have you ever stopped to thank God that you don't have to pay a tax on sunlight? It's true. 1696 in England, Parliament passed a law. They implemented what was known as the window tax, taxing houses based on the number of windows they had. More windows meant more sunlight. More sunlight meant you had to pay more taxes. Anybody want to sign up for that? Sounds like America. Can I get an amen? Ephesians 5 verse 20, Paul said, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so if we're going to have a gratitude adjustment, there's something we must know and something we must show. And then lastly, there's something you must grow. Look back at one last time. Verse 18. In everything, give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Hey, Christian, look right here. If you're a believer here this morning, if you're a Christian, if you're saved, and there is not right now an overflowing spring of joy and gratitude that's just bubbling up out of your soul, then you're not in the will of God for your life. Right now, right this very minute, you are out of the will of God if, no matter what the circumstances or situation may be, you are out of the will of God if you're not grateful and thankful. Now, as we wrap it up, why is it that gratitude pleases the Lord Jesus Christ so much? Two things and I'm through. First of all, gratitude is a mark of a growing Christian. Gratitude is the mark of a growing Christian. You see, gratitude really is the test of your character as a Christian. Do you know that? For example, how many of you ever thought about how ungrateful a baby is? Well, we had four young children one time, and they're growing up now, and we have 14 down to 8. And I was sharing with the other services, I'm 48 years old, John is 8, so do the math. I had a baby in diapers when I was 40 years old. Never will forget, 2 o'clock in the morning one time, I had had it. I was up changing diapers, and I remember telling Kim, there's a reason why people have babies in their 20s. I wasn't grateful at the time. Can I get an amen? Somebody says, oh, Pastor, don't you want to have more? No, are you out of your mind? No. Now, Kim made different. No, 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 no. But have you ever thought about how ungrateful a baby? Think about a baby. They're ungrateful. What does a baby do? Pouts? Poops? Plays to the crowd? Yeah. When's the last time? 2 o'clock in the morning, you're changing a dirty diaper, and your baby goes, thank you. Never is the answer to that. Never. Never. You know why? Because babies are ungrateful. Babies are not thankful. But you know what? That's a baby. When they begin to become a child or a teenager or an adult, there ought to be this growing of gratitude. They ought to be more thankful and grateful because you're growing. You're not a baby anymore. And so I'm just telling you that gratitude is the real test of your character. Gratitude is the mark of a growing Christian. But then number two, lastly, gratitude is the mark of a giving Christian. And I'll just say this and I'm done. If tithing weren't in the Bible, you ought to tithe just out of gratitude for all that God's done for you. I don't know how people can claim to be Christians, say they're right with the Lord, and never tithe, just tip God or even just rob completely. There's no way that you can be right with God because gratitude is the mark of a giving Christian. James 1 verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. So this week, many of us are going to travel, and some of y'all are going to have folks travel to you. We're going to celebrate Thanksgiving. And can't you just wait? I mean, listen, think about Thursday afternoon about 3 o'clock. You're in a trip to Fancoma. You've had all the turkey that you want for the rest of the year. You have eaten your cranberry sauce because that's the only time we ever eat it. I mean, anybody else here eat cranberry sauce on the 4th of July? No. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, we'll get the idea that Thanksgiving is just a day on the calendar. It's way more than that. Every day ought to be Thanksgiving Day for the Christian. I want you to think about that word, thanksgiving. You're to give thanks. You're to give thanks. The psalmist said in Psalm 116, verse 12, "What shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits towards me?" Yesterday, I got a call I wasn't expecting. Ken Whitten, pastor of the Idlewild Baptist Church in Tampa, Florida. Been there, what, 30 years? Ken called me. We were just talking just shooting the breeze, talking about sermons and getting ready for this morning. And I'm going to drop a few names. I don't drop many names, much. But one of my claims to fame is that I shared a room with Ken Whitten in early 2000 in Vermilion, Ohio, on the night that Tony Dungy won the Super Bowl. And I was in the room the next morning when Tony Dungy called his pastor, Ken Whitten, to say, "Hey, pastor, we won!" And we want to say, we watched it, we know. And Ken and I were talking yesterday. It's just always been such a good, good friend to me and to my family. And he made a statement, and I wish that he'd have called me 3 weeks ago, because I'd have changed this sermon series up a little bit. But I want you to listen to this statement, and we are done. Ken Whitten said, you know, there's a difference in gratitude and thanksgiving. There's a difference between gratitude and thanksgiving. Gratitude is an attitude. Thanksgiving, or being thankful, is an action. And you act upon what you know to be true. And I pray this week, Christian, that you'll be thankful. Yes, that you will have an attitude of gratitude, but then that you will give thanks. For what? For life's blessings and for life's benefits. And yes, even for life's burdens.